I don't know whether to beat him or hug him. Some of both, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, good morning. It's been another unbelievable week, as I'm sure you've all heard. I have the medical update that Jim dictated, so I'm going to read that first. This is his words. As you know, I've recently lost most of the use of my legs, and I've been strongly advised to have an immediate surgery on my spine to prevent any further loss of mobility. The success of the surgery will be evident in the following weeks. It's likely that I will need to go to a rehab center to regain mobility. The chemo treatment plan can be safely suspended for a few weeks and will resume with an oral low-dose maintenance pill, and then further treatments will be resumed at the appropriate time. We appreciate all your love and prayers, and feel free to call me anytime to say hi, to chat, whatever. And he gives his phone number. If anybody wants his number, just come see me, I'll give it to you. He said I might have lots of free time while in rehab. So this was quite a shock and, you know, surprise. But basically, the cyst that is in his spine, it's inside the spinal column, pressing up against the spinal cord. And on the very opposite side of the cyst is a calcified disc also pressing up against the spinal cord. And they feel that this has caused the leg immobility. So it just so happens that in our insurance provider, Kaiser, they have created these centers for excellence. I think I talked about that one time before. And it so happens that the spinal center for excellence is in Oakland, which is no fun for the family. But we're thankful that the doctors are literally world-renowned doctors. His oncologist is absolutely on board with this. She's very supportive and really likes the doctor and their approach. And when we learned about this on, I think, Wednesday of last week, the intent was to do surgery early Thursday morning. So we rushed up there, and the doctor said this makes no sense. His symptoms and what's on the MRIs, which I think they took 4 MRIs and 3 CAT scans, don't jive. It doesn't make sense. And so they worked with him. They did a bunch of manipulation and tried to see how things moved, and they kept putting it off and putting it off, and they said, you know, this is not an emergency. We're going to put this off until Wednesday of next week. So that's when he's having the surgery, so that the A-team surgeon and his A-team team will all be there. Actually, 2 teams. The neurosurgeon will do the cyst removal, and the spinal surgeon will do the shoring up of that calcified disc that's pressing on the other side. So he's going to have a lot of activity going on Wednesday, so keep him in prayer, as I know that you have. Before I read his message to the church that correlates to the message that we'll be listening to this morning, which is, of course, a Palm Sunday message. There's only one Palm Sunday, and he only preached one Palm Sunday sermon, so that's the one. But I also wanted to mention, Don's going to play a clip that someone sent to me, and I can't even remember who it was, and I listened to this, and it brought tears to my eyes, and I thought, Lord, if ever we have been in the middle of a plan of God, this is it. And I played it for Jim, and I said, do you think this is appropriate to play for the church? And he said, absolutely. So take a listen to this.
And if you don't like the president, it's okay. We're not going to let him preach. We're just letting him do the intro.
My fellow Americans, at this holy time of the year, families across our nation gather in homes, churches, and synagogues to light candles and to praise God. During the sacred holiday of Passover, Jewish families around the world give thanks to God for liberating the Jewish people from bondage in Egypt and delivering them to the promised land of Israel. For Christians, we remember the suffering and death of God's only Son and His glorious resurrection on the third day. On Easter Sunday, we proclaim with joy, Christ is risen. Both of these sacred celebrations remind us that God's love redeems the world. Almost 3,000 years ago, the prophet Isaiah wrote, "Darkness covers the earth, but the Lord rises upon you, and His glory appears over you. For the Lord will be your everlasting light." In America, we look to the light of God to guide our steps. We trust in the power of the Almighty for wisdom and strength. And we praise our Heavenly Father for the blessings of freedom and the gift of eternal life. Happy Passover, happy Easter. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless America.
Again, not necessarily a political plug, but you have to admit that's a pretty amazing statement coming from the President of the United States. I'm very thankful. And with that, I will read Jim's message to the church for this morning. You can turn, if you'd like to Revelation 19, starting with verse 11. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. That's chapter 19, verse 11 through 16. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It almost makes you want to break into the anthem, Glory, Glory, Hallelujah, His truth is marching on. When Jesus comes into Jerusalem to win the battle of Armageddon and sets up, which this scripture just depicted, and sets up his millennial reign, this is how he will come. This is a big contrast from the triumphal first entry into Jerusalem the week before Jesus' crucifixion. Jesus won the battle at Calvary that will be fought at that Armageddon battle. Think about that. And all future battles are covered by that victory at Calvary. The triumphal entry into Jerusalem was on a donkey with clothing and palm leaves laid out before him, and the people were giving him praise. But just 1 week later, he would be crucified and on the third day resurrected. This sets the stage for all of our victories. Let's praise the Lord before the rocks cry out.
Hosanna. He's the Savior. He's the Lord. And we want to bring that out this morning in this message. I don't think there's any other announcements. Let's just read the Word of God, beginning with verse 28. When he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he drew near Bethphage and Bethany at the mountain called Olivet, he sent his two disciples, saying, "Go into the village opposite you, where as you enter you will find a colt tied, and on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you loosening it?' thus you shall say to him, 'Because the Lord has need of it.'" Isn't that simple? Easy? So in verse 32, so those who were sent went their way,
Luke 19,
and found it just as he had said to them. But as they were loosening the colt, the owners of it said to them, "Why are you loosening the colt?" And they said, "The Lord has need of him." And then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw all their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And he went, many spread their clothes on the road. What I want you to see this morning is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords riding on not a white horse, but on a donkey, demonstrating a humility that we're to follow. Then, as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice, praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen. They weren't just making a lot of noise. They were being thankful. For what miracles? One of the commentaries said that Lazarus had not long ago been resurrected from the dead, and they were thinking about that and many other things that Jesus did. And so they said, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But he answered and said to them, "I tell you, that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." Now the title of this message today is "Before the Rocks Cry Out." I know it says stones, but I'm going to take a little liberty. And how many's going to forgive me for that? Thank you. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful for your word. Wow, what a powerful word it is. And Lord, that we find the same spirit in our service today. That, Lord, we want to praise you for the things that you have done and for what you mean to us today. You're everything, and we honor you, Jesus. Bring blessing to all of your people. We ask it in your powerful name, in the name of Jesus. Amen. This is kind of a side note, but I visited my doctor that did my vocal cord surgery on Monday. Seems like 2 years ago, but it was only Monday. And he said, "Everything looks good." And he's right. It looks much better than it did before. It's straight lines. The other doctor told me, he said, "You're just getting old. You can't do anything about it." That's why I went for another opinion. But I want you to pray, because I want all the hoarseness to be gone, because I know it's hard to hear, and I'd rather it be nice and easy, silky voice. And that's what we're hoping for. And like everyone else, I just want to praise the Lord with clarity. Amen. This day is all about praise. And I'm not forgetting what happens just a few days after Jesus comes in to Jerusalem in the triumphant or triumphal entry. I'm not forgetting that there's a cross that lay in his future, that Jesus was there for a purpose, and that was to give his life for you and I. A sacrifice of love, a sacrifice that he didn't need. He was perfect. But as the perfect Lamb of God, he would lay his life down, dying and suffering immensely on that cruel, harsh cross, so that you and I today could say, Abba Father, Papa God, so that we could call on the name of Jesus and be changed, be born again, so that the chains that are binding can be broken and we can be set free. I like the story. I like the fact that Jesus brings his disciples and said, go get that donkey. And if anybody says anything, now if I had a donkey and somebody came and got it, I'd say something. What are you doing? What are you thinking taking my donkey? But it's amazing how the Lord knew where the donkey was, and he knew that if these guys said the right thing, that they'd let the donkey go. I don't know if they got the donkey back. I don't think it matters. What matters was that Jesus rode into Jerusalem to the praise of all that were around him. The whole multitude began to praise the Lord and rejoice for the mighty works that they had seen. How many of you have seen mighty works? I was watching the Family Worship Center this morning, and they had a move of God. There was no preaching. There was some more singing. But they just let the Spirit of God fall. Why? Because there was a message in tongues and an interpretation that said the promise that's been made is going to happen now. And it was a good promise for that church. And it's a good promise for the church everywhere, that the Spirit of God will move. When I think about the Spirit of God moving, I have to remember back, oh my goodness, a long time, but it was so amazing. Debbie and I were pastoring in Tulare, and we went to visit our youth director, Jan and Gail Lake, and Brother Lake said, why don't you come with me to this meeting? We'll leave the ladies here. And so he and I headed off from Fresno, where he was living, to Mountain View. Now, Debbie and I had been the youth leaders here years before in the section. I was familiar with every church. The church was full on this youth fellowship night. And the Spirit of God moved. And I was sitting way in the back. And I was looking out over the Spirit of God, almost visible in that. And I would say 98% of the people were enthralled with Jesus. And they were worshiping so powerfully. I don't know if I've seen anything quite that powerful since then. But here's what I know. That is, our focus is on Jesus, like these folks were focusing on Jesus. We can see that any time. Almost, can I say, every time that we gather in his name. But the whole multitude of disciples begin to rejoice and praise him because of what he had done. He's done enough already in our lives with salvation and relationship and prayer and praise and singing and all that we do in our worship, that we owe him. And as we return the praise to the Lord and the thanksgiving, he will bless us again. It's kind of like you say thank you and the Lord pours out more blessing upon us. It keeps going, that cycle of blessing. And as we praise him, we give honor, and it's so good for us, so healthy for us. And when the Pharisees didn't care about Jesus, they didn't care about the people, they didn't care about God. You say, well, that's a big statement. Yeah, because God sent his son, and they didn't recognize the son. What they recognized were themselves being put out. Matter of fact, in one of the stories of the gospel of this triumphant entry, they said, whatever we do seems to have failed. The whole world's going after Jesus. That's what I'd like to see today, wouldn't you? The whole world go after Jesus. Now, out of each of the books, I've read this from the book of Luke, but let's go to the book of Matthew 21. I want to hit 2 points. I want to hit the prophecy out of the book of Zechariah, and I want to hit also the Hosanna praise, which actually comes from the book of Psalms 118. And in Matthew 21 and 4, and we'll go on down and read the several verses there. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. Prophet was Zechariah about 500 years before this. Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Now, all I can tell you about this is what God wanted for his son, to come in the eastern gate. I read that the eastern gate is closed now. They're waiting for the Messiah. And guess what? He's already come through that eastern gate once. But he's going to come through again. He's going to come through again. And this time, it's going to be to set up the millennial kingdom. Jumping down to verse 9, then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, like one of the songs that we sing, crying out, Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And then in the book of Mark, chapter 11, verse 8, and it said, many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, can we emphasize how much heart they were putting into this praise? Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And then in the book of John 12, scripture says, 12 through 15, the next day the great multitude had come to the feast. And when they heard Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees, thus Palm Sunday. Thought about bringing a palm tree, a little one in, but how many knows what a palm tree looks like? Just imagine it. They took the palm branches and went out to meet him and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. And then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it was written, fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. Now, of course, this is the last of the, every gospel records this triumphant entry. And everyone has a little different praise and glory to God. I'm going to take another side note. Last night, yesterday afternoon, we went to a play called Esther, which features one of the stars is Claire, my granddaughter. And toward the end, maybe not the last thing, but almost the last thing, Claire has a part that says, Claire, can you do that? everything that hath breath, praise the Lord. That's out of the Psalms 150. Let everything. I want you to understand that these people had such a drive to praise the Lord. No wonder the Pharisees were jealous and angry and upset, because these people were getting with it. You remember when David brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem and how he was dancing before the Lord, and his wife looked over or told him, said, "You made a fool out of yourself. Here you are, the king, and look at what you did." And these people got excited, and they were having a time as Jesus came in humbly on this donkey. I want us to understand, Jesus has given us a formula for success. How many want to be successful? I mean, yeah, we want to be successful in everything. But to be successful in God and in the Spirit of God, Jesus said, if you'll humble yourselves, I'll exalt you. Now, Jesus not only said that, but he gave us an example. Here is the creator of heaven and earth riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. And a few days later, I can't think of it quick enough, so I can't tell you. And I don't believe Good Friday is necessarily the day. I'm thinking Thursday. Good Thursday. Whatever you want to think, I don't have a concern at all. Just as long as we realize on Easter Sunday morning, he came up and he arose. That's the big thing. Jesus was headed in here humbly to suffer and die, but he was teaching us that if you'll humble yourself, I'll exalt you. If you humble, then you'll rise and soar in the Spirit. But if we boost ourselves up and get proud, there's not going to be much spirit to us. It's not going to work at all, because we've got to come as Jesus did, humbly. Before this triumphant entry in the book of John, we see Jesus at the house of Lazarus and Mary and Martha. And Mary brings out that expensive spice or oil, and she puts it on the feet of Jesus. Judas, the money handler, said, "What a waste! What a waste! Why are you letting her waste that on your feet?" And Jesus said, "She's doing the right thing, because I'm going to die, and this is representative and anointing and preparation for my death." He said, "The poor you'll have," because Judas said we should give that to the poor. Jesus said, "The poor you'll have with you always, but not me. I'm leaving." That always has stuck with me. The poor you'll have with you always. And we do need to be mindful of the poor, and we need to give and all of that, but we need to stay humble before the Lord and have such a hunger and desire to exalt his name. That's why every song that we sang this morning did that. We exalted Jesus. We let him know how we love him. Now, after the triumphant entry in the book of Luke, there's a story of Jesus weeping over Jerusalem. He said, "Oh, how many times have I wanted to gather you together as a hen gathers her chicks and protect you, but you wouldn't have anything to do with it." Jesus knew that he would be rejected by his own people, and in 40 years they would be destroyed and scattered all over the world. And that also is a prophecy of Zechariah. So Psalms 118, verses 25 through 29 is where we get this Hosanna. When they were saying Hosanna, they were saying save now. What they were doing is they were identifying Jesus as their Savior, as their Redeemer, as their Messiah, which most of the Jews and the leadership didn't want to hear that. But we sing, there's something about that name, Master, Savior. Jesus. Let all heaven and earth proclaim. I guarantee you that heaven is proclaiming him Lord right now. And so when we join in, we're preparing ourselves for heaven. Praise God. And the scripture says, save now. Hosanna, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And we have blessed you from the house of the Lord. I get excited when we come together and we bless him from here. And we make this a place of worship, prayer, and a place of healing and strength. God is the Lord, and he has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God. I will praise you. It's like, what else can I do? You're my God. I'm going to praise you. You are my God. I will exalt you. And I like this verse. This was one of my memory verses a long time ago. It's one of the two or three that I remembered. Claire and Evan remember verses all the time for their school. But this one says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. How many says amen to that? He's good. For his mercy endures forever. I want to look at Zechariah 9 and 9. This is where we get the quotes from that the people were speaking. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, a foal of a donkey. You know, the leaders were looking for someone that would come in and crush Rome and set them up as real power. They were powerful enough. Set them up. They wanted to be more powerful. But Jesus came and destroyed sin and gave redemption to the whole world so that everybody could be saved. He is the Redeemer. In the book of Revelation, chapter 5, there's a story. How many is familiar with that story? We often call it the story of the kinsman redeemer. Why is it the kinsman redeemer? Because in the bloodline of Christ was both Jew and Gentile. And the Gentile part comes from Rahab and from Ruth, the Moabitess. And they're part of the lineage of Jesus. And Jesus was the only one that could redeem mankind. And so in Revelation 5, when John, the beloved, is there, and he hears that no one is found to take the book out of the hand of God. The book was the deed to everything. The deed to our souls, the deed to the earth, the deed to the universe. It was everything. And when John said nobody's able to, bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. Ever. I want to look at Zechariah 9 and 9. This is where we get the redemption to the whole world. The book was the deed to everything. The deed to our souls, the deed to the earth, the deed to the universe. It was everything. And when John said nobody's able to open the book, he is the Redeemer. In the book of Revelation, chapter 5, there's a story. How many is familiar with that story? We often call it the story of the kinsman redeemer. Why is it the kinsman redeemer? Because in the bloodline of Christ was both Jew and Gentile. And the Gentile part comes from Rahab and from Ruth, the Moabitess. and they're part of the lineage of Jesus. And Jesus was the only one that could redeem mankind. And so in Revelation 5, when John, the beloved, is there, and he hears that no one is found to take the book out of the hand of God, the book was the deed to everything. The deed to our souls, the deed to the earth, the deed to the universe. It was everything. And when John said nobody's able to open the book, he falls apart. Oh my goodness, here we are in heaven and things are going wrong. I'm used to that on earth. How many is used to things falling apart? Having to deal with it, but not in heaven. And then the elders said, control yourself, because here, the Lion of Judah hath prevailed, and he's able to open the book and loose the seals thereof. And John said, I looked. He was looking for a lion. But he said, behold, I saw a lamb as though it had been slain. And he came. This is a powerful moment. I hope we as a church get to watch that. I hope it's a prophecy that we get to see Jesus taking that book from the hand of God and open it and begin to see the things on earth happening, the judgments. But for us, it's redemption. We're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And he's worthy to take the book because he died for us on the cross. Oh, praise God. One more reading of Scripture, Revelation 4, verses 8 through 11. Debbie, you want to come to the piano? And the four beasts, each of them having six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night. They don't take a nap. They don't take 15 minutes for a coffee break. They rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts, most of the translations are living creatures, but Old King James said beast, and I read Old King James because I like verse 11 in that version. And the beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. And the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things. Whew. You know, the Jesus riding in to Jerusalem on that donkey was a creator of all things. No wonder when the Pharisees said, shut them up, Jesus said, can't do it. Can't do it. Because all of creation is going to cry out if we shut them up. I don't know about you, but I don't want a rock to have to take my place. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things. For thy pleasure they are and were created. At his will, at his delight, things have been created. I see very, 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 very smart people today denying the existence of the Lord. And I think, oh, how foolish, how silly. How can you? And I guess maybe that's why I'll never be that intelligent, because I want to believe in the creator of all. And I want to give him glory for what he's done, because he's great and he's mighty. We owe him our everything, all of our devotion. Thank God for his blessing. Thank God for salvation. You're worthy. Thou art worthy. No one else is worthy to receive this glory and honor and power. For you've created all things, and for your pleasure they are and were created. The old song, "Before the Rocks Cry Out," I just have to praise him. I just have to thank him for all that he's done. Before all nature rises up to shout, just have to thank him for all that he's done for me. How many would say, "Oh, we owe you a lot of thanks today, Lord"? If it were palms, we'd lay it down. We'd take our coat off. I'm taking my coat off because it's hot. And lay it down before Jesus. Let him and the donkey walk across it. You say it's going to get dirty. It's all right. I'm laying it down before Jesus. Someday we'll have crowns and we'll take them and put them before him. And we'll give him praise, casting all that we've earned, all that we've been rewarded, before the one who made it possible. Praise God. Let's pray together. Lord, we're thankful for mercy today. We live such a blessed life because we know you as Savior. But Lord, we don't want to minimize our relationship by not giving you all the glory and praise and honor you deserve. Bring blessing to your people. Lord, continue that presence and that power. Help us every day, Lord. Be mindful. You see what's ahead this week, and there may be some bumps, but Lord, you're able to be with us and mighty. And let us, with an unbridled heart, put everything before you in praise and love and thanksgiving. We honor you. We praise you. Would you stand and come, and let's join around the front. Again, you don't have to join hands. Just stand close. And let's join as one body, giving praise to the Lord. Holy God. However you're comfortable. You want to raise your hands? Go raise your hands. If you want to speak in tongues, speak in tongues. If you want to do it quietly, do it quietly. We're all free in the Spirit to love and worship the Lord. Let's praise Jesus. Lord, we honor you today. Look upon your people. Receive our praise. Lord Jesus, we weren't there 2,000 years ago when you were coming into the city. Lord, we didn't see that great time nor your crucifixion that was so filled with pain and anguish. Lord, also we didn't see your resurrection, nor were we in the upper room, but we have experienced your love, your forgiveness, and we want to thank you for that. We've experienced a baptism of your Holy Spirit, and we want to give you glory. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Lift up your people as we lift you up. Draw all men unto yourself. As we lift you up, bring blessing and direction and power, Lord, in our lives, the dynamite power of the Holy Spirit. We love you. We love you, Jesus. We exalt your name. You're holy, holy, holy. And you deserve the honor. You deserve the glory. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Lord, you see everyone that's here, and if there's one that needs a healing touch, as we have, Lord, our hearts before you, bring healing to these bodies. Shoromosandai, strength in every part of us. Touch those backs, those legs, Lord, knees, arms. Lord, touch our necks and all parts of us and take away the pain and restore strength in Jesus' name. Touch every body, Lord, every physical condition and bring healing in Jesus' name. Lord, by your Spirit and by your power, we trust your grace. Help in every situation that we're dealing with, every mountain that we face at work, relationships. Oh God, bring your mercy. Bring your mercy and bring your healing, oh God. We need you. We can't live a day without you. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. Strengthen each one, Lord. Open our eyes to your beauty and your power and fill us, Lord, every day with your Spirit. Continuously, as a river flows, continuously let the Spirit flow in our lives. We honor and give you glory. You're worthy, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I was just thinking that when they were honoring the Lord when he came in through the eastern gate, they didn't even fully know what he was going to be doing. But we do. We know what he's done. When they honored him in heaven, in the scriptures you read in Revelation, they knew. And we knew. We know. We know what he's done. So we have every reason to praise and worship him even more than they did there when they saw him coming into Jerusalem. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done. As we just consider, Lord Jesus, the glory that you brought with you into Jerusalem, God, how much more, Lord, can we honor and thank you and praise you for the salvation that you brought in your death and resurrection. As we go into this week, Lord God, we just will continually be thinking, Lord Jesus, what a glorious thing, what a glorious thing. And what glory it brought to you, and what glory we're going to give you, Lord God, for all that you've done and all that you're going to do. We thank you for your salvation. We thank you for your sacrifice that made it possible. And we lift your name high so that the rocks never have to. We just pray that you be with each and every one here as we go out this week, Lord God. Bring the healing. Bring the strength. Lord, consider, Lord God, all the requests and petitions, Lord God, all the healing that is needed, all the comfort and all the strength. It's all in you as we give you praise and worship, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. God bless you. And since we don't have palm fronds for you to take home, you can rip some juniper off these trees out front and just take it with you.